Hey guys, welcome to Navigate. Our hope here is to help you engage with God. My name's Ben and I'm joined with Ryan and we're continuing in the book of Acts. We're going to be looking at Acts 23, 12, 35 today and we're going to be reminded of God's sovereignty and the comfort that brings us. As we work through this passage, we hope it's refreshing and encouraging wherever you are. Here's what God's word says, starting at Acts 23, beginning at verse 12. The next morning, some Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin petition the commander to bring him before you on the next pretext of wanting more accurate information about his case. We are ready to kill him before he gets here." But when the son of Paul's sister heard of this plot, he went into the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the commander. He has something to tell them." So he took him to the commander. The centurion said, "Paul, the prisoner, sent for me and asked me to bring this young man to you because he has something to tell you." The commander took the young man by the hand, drew him aside and asked, "What is it you want to tell me?" He said, "Some Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul before the Sanhedrin tomorrow on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about him. Don't give in to them because more than 40 of them are waiting in ambush for him. They have taken an oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. They are ready now, waiting for your consent for their request." The commander dismissed the young man with this warning, "Don't tell anyone that you have reported this to me." Then he called two of his centurions and ordered them, "Get ready a detachment of 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at 9 tonight. Provide horses for Paul so that he may be taken safely to Governor Felix." He wrote a letter as follows, "Claudius Lysias, to His Excellency Governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and they were about to kill him, but I came with my troops and rescued him, for I had learned that he is a Roman citizen. I wanted to know why they were accusing him, so I brought him to their Sanhedrin. I found that the accusation had to do with questions about their law, but there was no charge against him that deserved death or imprisonment. When I was informed of a plot to be carried out against this man, I sent him to you at once. I also ordered his accusers to present to you their case against him." So the soldiers, carrying out their orders, took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipatris. The next day, they let the cavalry go on with him while they returned to the barracks. When the cavalry arrived in Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. The governor read the letter and asked what province he was from. Learning that he was from Cilicia, he said, "I will hear your case when your accusers get here." Then he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace. So I'm joined with Ryan and we're going to have a chat over this passage. And Ryan, this passage begins with a conspiracy.
Yeah, that's right. We see the Jews, with their best efforts and intentions so far, have failed to kind of deal with Paul. And now we see a group of 40 men kind of make this commitment, this pact, this vow to not eat or drink until he's dead. And we kind of see them kind of cook up this plan to lure him back to the Sanhedrin where they can ambush him and, kill him.
Yeah. Now we see that they try and kill him, but God steps in the way in his sovereignty through the son of Paul's sister, and he goes and speaks to the commander and they come up with this, I don't know, as I was reading those numbers there of what the sheer of army that they take to protect Paul, it's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's this, I don't know, it seems so extravagant compared to the 40 men who were threatening to kill Paul, and you get this kind of, 200?
Yeah, 200 soldiers.
Yeah, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen. It's like far out.
Yeah.
This is like a king's escort, not a prisoner's transport kind of thing. It's the picture we get here is Paul is just abundantly cared for in this moment. Which is, I suppose it's interesting from the ground up. we see that, oh, wow, there's these details around, yeah, Paul's protection, but from the top down, we're going to see, oh, it's just, this is God's care and protection. And yeah, like you're saying, it's about the sovereignty.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting you say that. So we've got, the reason we've got this is because Paul is a Roman citizen. So in the last episode, we saw he comes out with this, the fact that, you know, he is a Roman citizen. He's not,
yeah,
he's not just any guy. And in, you know, if you're a Roman citizen, then you would be provided for, but and looked after as well. And so that's why we've got this massive army looking after Paul. But then it's interesting because when they write to the governor Felix, he actually says that there was no reason, there was no charge against him that deserved death or imprisonment.
Mm.
So all of what we've seen, all of the beatings and the imprisonments and stuff like that, according to Roman law, there was actually no reason that he should have copped any of that.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And we see that at this point in time now, it's kind of them appealing to the higher authority. So the command is now appealing to the governor to deal with this situation because it's escalating. Mm. This is getting out of hand. And yeah, he writes this letter explaining why they're transporting Paul to him and what needs to happen next and how things have been set up for the Jews to come and actually, yeah, speak to him. So it's almost like this pre-trial. If you think about a law court, this is the details setting up for this pre-trial. And it's, what's amazing is that not only does this story show us that Paul is abundantly cared for, but the opportunities that he now has, we see that he's having a personal conversation with the governor.
Yeah.
Of a region of the Roman Empire, a province. So the guy who oversees that, Paul's having this personal chat with. But also he's in, yeah, resting up in King Herod's palace.
Yeah.
And so just he's rolling now in higher levels of politics, having these conversations, which we know as Paul tells his story, what is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus and the impact Jesus had on his life. And yeah, the governor says, look, yeah, I want to hear this further. And the pre-trial is, yeah, anticipated.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting in this section of Acts. You know, we've been covering quite a lot of content. Sometimes, you know, whole chapters crossing over into two chapters. And in some ways, it's kind of much of the same.
Yeah.
You know, like, and if you're listening to this and you're feeling that, you know, it's just, it is Paul going from one area to the next. But what Ryan just touched on there is super important, that I think we're shown this in the story of Acts to actually show us that, you know, if Paul's going somewhere, it's not just Paul going somewhere, it's actually he's going to take the gospel with him. And for Paul to go into this place, into Herod's palace, that's actually going to be significant for Christianity right around the world, even to this day in some ways. And it's really important that we see this. And right throughout all of this, it's kind of like you just go, okay, what does this mean for me? But I guess there's a vibe thing almost. Like you get to the end of this passage and go, okay, what's God doing in this passage? He's looking after Paul. God is sovereign, like divinely sovereign. It's not that, you know, for Christians we won't ever suffer, but in this moment he is looking after Paul. And it happens in this really cool, just interesting way that he does that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's attached to just Paul kind of faithfully living out his relationship with Jesus. Yeah, kind of walking with Jesus wherever it leads him, particularly for this mission he's on now to take the gospel to Rome. It's interesting because it's as Paul kind of trusts God and walks with God, he experiences this ongoing care. And I don't know if sometimes maybe it's for us as we just perhaps we hesitate too much with God that we kind of perhaps might not, experience some of the stuff that we're seeing in Paul's life. This kind of ongoing experience of God's sovereign care and provision for us.
Yeah.
Well,
I think what we see here is that, like we've said this right throughout the book of Acts, that God is sovereign and in control when things are going badly. You know, like for Paul, he's unwavering in his faith when things are difficult.
Yeah.
He trusts God's death in God's death and his resurrection, and he knows that God's in control. But God is also sovereign when things go well.
Yeah.
And when things go well, you know, and you might not argue that for Paul this is going well, but for Paul's life, this is good. A whole army taking him to be under guard in Herod's palace. But there's a sense that we can appreciate and enjoy and rest in God's sovereignty and his control. Whether right now for you is the craziest time in your life or whether it's the best time. Mm. You know, it's almost like whether it's 2020 and the craziness of 2020 yeah. or whether it's another year that brings a bit more peace, a bit less crazy, a bit less chaos. Whatever happens, God is in control. And when you work through these passages in Acts, I think that is the comfort for us to just feel the weight of it all, to see that God is the one who's sovereign. He's in control. He gives life and he takes away. And as we read this, we can be confident, we can rest in God's sovereignty and his control. So we hope that this is a comfort for you today, wherever you are, whatever challenges you face, whatever barriers, whatever joys, whatever highs, whatever lows, whatever you've got today, to remember that God is sovereign and in control over all of that. And he's worthy of your attention, your praise, your glory in all that you're doing today. God has got this day, and there's something good about that. Hey, thanks for listening today. We hope you were able to hear God speak through his word and this was encouraging for you. We'd love to encourage you to engage with God now in prayer. Thanks heaps. We'll see you next time.